Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Back on the Rod Peterson Show, Al Dumba, Kelly Rempel. We're going to go straight out to Moose Jaw and talk to the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Alan Miller. The Warriors tonight taking on Dalen Kiefler, the pride of Stettler, Alberta, and the Kamloops Blazers. I got to get a plug in for my cousin. What can I say? Al, first of all, before we start talking some hockey, because we are definitely going to talk about some hockey, lots to talk about. Everybody around these parts, or at least anybody that I come into contact with, knows that you are the CEO and president of the Motley Crue Fan Club. And it's been announced here just recently that Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison, along with Joan Jett, are embarking on a massive stadium tour this summer. My question to you is, which stadium will you be attending the show? Because I know you're going, Al.
Well, I'll certainly be taking in a show or two, Remps. Hey, Al, thanks for having me on here, guys. I'm like you, Remps, president of the Motley Crue Fan Club, maybe. But I like all kinds of music from the 80s and 90s. As you know, I'm a little bit of a hard rocker. What excites me about concerts, and particularly with the fact that I've, you know, traveled a lot and from home in Ontario for a number of years as being part of the game, is that, you know, Remps, as you have looked at the dates and reached out to buddies, so have I. So I'll probably hit a show in Ontario with some buddies that I grew up with, high school and that, either Detroit or Buffalo, because there's no Canadian dates yet, as you know. And then there's a little bit of, you know, rockers here in the WHL, some GMs, Michael Dick in Vancouver, Matt Barsley, the GM of Kamloops, that all want to see the show. We've looked at shows in Phoenix or Seattle or LA or San Diego. So I'll get out to two or three, Remps, and it should be some fun.
Well, I think Lou and I are going to the show in Buffalo. I think I want to say that it's like August 23rd. Are you be back in Moose Jaw then for camp, or do you think that maybe you could delay camp a few days so that you could make that one?
I have twice in the past altered training camp to work in a concert. Once was in Sarnia. I altered a day when Crew Fest was in Toronto. And just 2 years ago, we moved a preseason game from a Saturday to Sunday, so our entire staff here could go to Metallica in Saskatoon. So I fortunately, being the manager, I could move some things around and find a way to get to the shows. And Remps, if I'm mistaken, I don't think I am, but I think the first time you and I ever met was at a concert at the Molson Amphitheater in Toronto.
It was Poison, which I'm a president and CEO of the Poison Fan Club. I think did Vince Neil open that show, or was it Cinderella? I can't remember. But I did see you at the amphitheater there. Peter introduced us. It's about 2002 or something.
Yeah, I think I think Skid Row was on that bill without Sebastian Bach. Cinderella, Vince Neil. It was a pretty good. It was a pretty good bill, and we did meet that night. And I saw a little bit of Lou here on the show. What a guy, passionate. Geez, you got to love that guy in terms of his love for life and his passion for the game. He's a good man.
Well, Al, you know, I don't know. I sent you a text yesterday. Mind you, you and I text a lot, but I did say to you, are there any subjects that you want me to stay away from, or anything that you're uncomfortable with? And, you know, you said, no, my life is an open book. You could ask me anything you want. So I'm going to. The Dallas Stars today announced that Jim Montgomery is fired. What was the reason? Due to conduct not in line with the organization's standards. Whatever the hell that means. I think we would all agree, Al, that the hockey culture at times does go a little bit offside, for sure. There are times where coaches use words they shouldn't use. They absolutely should never use a racial slur of any kind. There's really no excuse for that. But it's getting to the point now where you just get up every day and you wonder where the next domino is going to fall. And are people that made mistakes and committed crimes years and years and years ago now getting up every day, scratching themselves, going, uh-oh, is today the day that a guy that I coached 15 years ago is going to go to the NHL and say, he was mean to me, and here's what he said? You know, you could probably see what side I'm on. I agree. You can't yell and scream and F-bomb and all that stuff every single day in guys' face. But have we not gone just almost to the point now where it's coming back the other way and it's getting almost to the point of being ridiculous? Like, where do you stand on that? And I'll just shut up and let you answer the question.
Well, you know, I think, Remps, that you know, the last few weeks in the hockey world, from, you know, the National Hockey League down, let's say it's been a real challenging time, and I think that, you know, certainly, you know, the way things were handled in the past in terms of how coaches motivated, how coaches challenged their players, we all know that. There were times where, you know, that let's just say they were a challenge and they were a different time. And I think, Remsen, and not to be uncomfortable with the subject matter by any means, I think, you know, I did a radio show in Edmonton when we were on our trip there, and we talked about this a little bit, and I think one thing that we really have to keep in mind here is that the game has evolved, the game has changed, coaches have evolved, coaches have changed, you know, players, young people have changed, and how you manage and how you coach, you know, you have to do things differently. Yeah, if you're a coach at any level, and particularly our level, if you're not building relationships with your players and getting to know them and getting to know what takes them tick and how you build confidence with them and how you motivate them, then you're not doing a very good job. You're not doing the right things. And I think the WHL, the CHL, we've done a lot of good things in terms of the environment for our players. I think, you know, I've worked with some coaches that you would consider old school, and I think a lot of those guys have adapted. They've understood how they needed to change to survive in the game, but also benefit themselves in terms of, you know, getting players ready to play and so forth. So yeah, challenging times, but at the same time, I think that coaches and all of us in the game need to know. Need to know our players real well, need to build relationships. There are times that players need to be challenged. There are times that players, you know, do things wrong, and there are discipline issues with young people, and you have to handle those things in the right way. You have to communicate properly. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that there's a lot of good people in the game. A lot of people have found a way to adapt, and I believe that the CHL has been leaders in terms of working on a better environment for our players and giving them the support and resources, you know, for them to live with.
Hey, Al, it's Al Dumba here. My thoughts always go back to knowing that you were a general manager, I believe, with the Guelph Storm before you came out west. And I always interested in, I know I was part of it on the inside many years ago. Now I follow the league very close, but I'm on the outside looking in all the time. As a general manager in both leagues, the politics of the leagues, being a general manager in Moose Jaw and the Western Hockey League, is it change a lot? Is there different types of styles that you see a lot different out west, or is being a general manager just being a general manager?
No, I think, Al, that you know, being a general manager is being a general manager. You know, in terms of what I've done here in Moose Jaw and how I've managed the club and how I've tried to surround myself with good people and putting coaching staffs together and that. You know, there's not a lot of difference in terms of, you know, certainly you evolve along the way, but in terms of how we do things, we're dealing with young people and 16 to 20 years old, billeting, you know, guys moving away from home, going to a new school, all those things are the same. And all those things in terms of dealing with young people are the same, whether it's Guelph or Moose Jaw. You know, I think, Al, you know that there are some differences between the two leagues. The age of the draft was something to get adjusted to, a bantam draft compared to a midget draft. In Ontario, you can't just arbitrarily list a player like you can here in the West. And we know how competitive the listing of players are. So there are some different rules in terms of how we draft, how we build our personnel and things like that. But when it comes to the most important people in the game, which is the players, you're dealing with young people and how I manage and how I try to lead and how to try to surround myself with the right people hasn't changed.
You know, Al, this morning on our poll question for the Prairie Mobile text line, and I'm going to paraphrase the question, but it's something to the effect of, as a fan, do you agree with the idea that coaches or general managers, in your case, should put all the chips in the middle of the table to try to win a championship, even if it means that there's going to be some hard times to follow? And it's about 60-40 in favor of fans that say that they absolutely agree that if you have a chance, even if we don't know how the outcome is going to be as far as the championship run, but we do know what the outcome is probably going to be in terms of the price that's going to need to be paid. The 60% of our fans or thereabouts still say it's worth going for it. So a couple years ago, the Swift Current Broncos, Moose Jaw Warriors, and Regina Pats were all in a unique situation. We all know the story. We won't get into it. Pats are hosting the Memorial Cup. When are you ever going to have all three markets that are in first, second, and third? You could argue the three best teams in the entire league. Everybody kind of, well, not kind of, put their chips in the middle of the table and really went for it, did a lot. And all three teams now are suffering as a result, and it might take a while to climb out of it. If you had a chance, I think I know what you're going to tell me, but if you had a chance to do it all over again and knowing what happened, would you not still do it the same way?
Well, I believe we would. I don't believe that, you know, we can have any regrets in terms of what we tried to do a couple of years ago. It was a tremendously exciting time for the Western Hockey League in Saskatchewan. That's, you know, and you know, you go back the last three or four years in terms of the teams that the Pats had, we had, and Swift Current slid in there. It was incredible hockey. It was incredible competition. I think, Remps, and you know this as well as anybody, is that, you know, we've never found a way to win here. Well, this year is we've talked about it being a transitional year, and we knew this was coming. We want to try and try and limit this to 1 year and get back on track as quickly as we can. But you know, getting back to your question, I think there's a lot of, you know, that year there was a lot of things that were unique. Is that there was as many as 9 teams that were very good. You know, you looked at Portland and teams loading up. There was a lot of good teams in the league that year, Everett and so forth. The Memorial Cup was in Regina. You know, so we felt that we were, you know, we felt we were as good as anybody leading in the deadline. And you're looking, and Swift Current and Regina are doing a lot. Portland adds Chalowski. Everett makes some moves. And you're really debating what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But the one thing we talked about a lot was we wanted to win. And we still do. You know, that's why it's a little bit of a step backwards here to move forward. But we want to win. We want to win a championship and go to the Memorial Cup. And that year with the Memorial Cup being in Regina and us understanding the low percentage of the challenges of Moose Jaw ever hosting a Memorial Cup, it doesn't mean we don't want to explore it. It doesn't mean we don't want to maybe try somewhere along the way. But as you know, everything team-wise and so forth has to line up. But the Memorial Cup was in Regina, and we wanted to do something special for our fan base. So, you know, we got into the deadline day, and we added Cale Clegg. And I had a knot in my stomach for 2 days. The prices were high. It didn't work out. I'm the first one to admit it. You pay that price and you add Cale Clegg, it only works if you win. And we didn't find a way to win, but there's no regrets, Remps, because we put our best forward. We put our best foot forward. We thought we had a chance to do something special, and we gave it a shot. And we understand the consequences or the challenges of where your team might be a year or two down the road. You know, this team doesn't have Jet Wu on it, doesn't have Luca Bergen on it, and other pieces along the way. So we're young, we're in a development phase, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure this isn't a 2 or 3 year window, but it's a 1 year window, and we're competitive again next year. And the year after that, we think we'll be right in the mix again.
Al, I know that you got to run. I'm going to ask one last question in 15 or 30 seconds or less, because it kind of just dawned on me. I'm looking at the clock. You got a big meeting today, and I won't get into that, but you have a very important meeting, and I thank you for coming on because I know it wasn't an ideal time. But people have been asking about Jet Wu and him getting snubbed by Team Canada. Do you have a quick thought on that before I let you go?
Well, Rams, first of all, you're just as important as the mayor of Moose Jaw, okay, pal? So I'm real
Touché.
Happy to I'm real happy to find a time and actually we have a real good meeting with the mayor, Chad Taylor. We're sitting down with the city manager, the new management people here at Spectra, about our partnership and our relationship. So that's all good. And they know I'm going to be 5 or 10 minutes late. So anyways, Jet Wu, I'm a Jet Wu fan. But as you know, Remps, I'm part of the management group, with Hockey Canada. My role has been with the under 18 team. Mark Hunter is, the manager at the U20 level. Brad McEwen is the head scout. I have a ton of respect for Brad McEwen and Mark Hunter. So along the process, and I joined them at the Canada-Russia series in Saskatoon and PA and watched the games and sat in on some meetings, which I was happy to do. Mark Hunter is a great hockey guy, and it's real good. It's been real good for me to reconnect with him. After our time, my time in the Ontario Hockey League when we were both managers. That's kind of the long-winded to say that, there was a lot of discussion on Jet. He came off another injury in the summer, didn't have a great start to the year, was okay in the Canada-Russia series. Jet just wasn't at his level. Brad and Mark at the end of the day felt that they had 10 or 11 guys that they wanted at the camp ahead of them. They know that I thought Jet should have been at the camp. For me, he would have been a guy that you got to get to the camp and see if he fits in your group of seven. But that's just the way it went. But I really think Jet has really turned a corner here the last couple weeks, a couple of times I've seen him. He's a great young man. He'll have a good run here with the Hitmen, and he'll have a long career, and we wish him nothing but the best here in Moose Jaw.
More than fair. More than fair. And Al, if you don't mind, could you, as a season ticket holder of the Moose Jaw Warriors, could you inadvertently pass on a message to the group at Spectra that, now I'm just spiffballing here, I'm throwing this out just as an idea, but they could probably increase the revenue of their concession and their food and beverage if they could actually get you a beer in 7 or 8 or 9 minutes? Just a thought. Would you pass that on?
Yeah, I certainly, if food and beverage comes up at lunch today, Remps, I'll share your concerns. I'm sure Corey Nyhagen along the way here maybe will be listening in, and he'll take some notes in terms of his due diligence and working with the building. I know how important beer is when you're at a hockey game, and we want our fans to be served and enjoying themselves in a timely fashion, Rips.
Well, I went with my game. I went with my uncle, Royce, about two or three years ago, and I think it's too bad the people from Guinness weren't there, because they would have set an all-time record for the length of time to get you a cold, refreshing beer at the game. But anyway, I know that's not your problem, Al. Appreciate your candor. Appreciate your honesty here today, and it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show. What else can I say? Have a great meeting, and good luck tonight when you take on the Kamloops Blazers.
Thanks, Rems. Always a pleasure. And Al, take care. Happy holidays to everybody. And all the best for a safe and happy holiday, gentlemen. Thank you.
Same to you, Al. Merry Christmas and good luck in the second half.
Yes. Merry Christmas to you and Kelly as well. I like Al. He's a good man.
He's
a very good guy. Great guy, as a matter of fact. Okay, we're running late. We're going to take a break. But you know what? You can't cut these people off. Al, Lou. They're good guys, giving us great stuff here today on this hockey version of the Rod Peterson Show. Let's take a break. Come on back. We got former legendary coach and general manager of the Regina Pats from the early 80s. Going to be lots of great stories with Bob Strum right after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get savings up to $15,000 or finance rates as low as 0% up to 84 months on select new inventory. Plus, every single one of our new 2019 models has had its price heavily discounted. Celebrate the most wonderful time of year with Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
We are back live on the Rod Peterson Show. A couple of things here. Housekeeping matters. Tell your friends you want to follow us. It's .com at the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook. And, of course, Instagram, at The Rod Peterson Show. Twitter, at Rod Peterson Show. YouTube, The Rod Peterson Show. Am I making myself clear? Chances are, if you put The Rod Peterson Show in your Google machine, you'll be able to find us. So, mind you, Al, anybody that's watching this right now already knows how to find us.
Exactly.
But they wanted me to read that. Yeah. So, there you go. Do we have Bob Strum? Bob Strum. You know, Bob, I got to tell you. I got to tell you something. You probably don't remember this, but about 4 or 5 years ago in Swift Current at the old Civic Center, I was fascinated in a conversation that you and I had in the media room. I could have sat and listened to you talk for hours, and I said to myself, Kelly Rempel, if you ever host a show or have an opportunity to pick your guests, If you have to spend 4 days in a row tracking down Bob Strum, you have to do that. And Dale Durkach, a good friend of both of ours, passed on your contact information to me. He wanted me to say hi to you today, and I can't thank you enough for coming on and being with us here today, Bob. It means a lot.
No problem. Pleasure to be with you. Great fond memories of Regina and the Pats and my time there, for sure.
So, I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I mean, when you think back, maybe let's start there. When you think back to the Regina Pats organization back in the late 70s and early 80s, you basically did nothing but win. Seemed like you had 40 win years pretty much every year. And when I think back to those times, I was a young kid growing up in Moose Jaw and a big Pats fan. That's before the Warriors came to town. And then it took me a couple of years and I sort of flipped allegiances. But being a Pats fan as a young kid, I just remember the euphoria surrounding that 84 run and some of the great names on that team in particular, when you think of Taylor Hall and Lyndon Byers and Dale Durkach and John Miner and Salomar Odelin and Trapp and Acton and Lauer and Nielsen and Reeve. Like, it just, it comes back to me just like that. Great times, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Like, you know, we went in there with an attitude that they could win. I mean, they had struggles, but the big thing was that they had a core of really good players. Veach, you know, Wickenheiser, mostly Regina kids that were part of the deal. And so, you know, we just built around them. We got lucky. We got Blaisdell back from the University of Wisconsin. We got Callender back from Providence College, and it really made a difference to our team at Christmas. And so that first year, we just, you know, and of course, we stumbled across a guy, the late, great Brian Murray, who came in, did a hell of a job bringing that team around. So the first year, we won it beyond all expectations. And then you had to bring up 84. I have nightmares about that once a month.
Sorry.
So, you know, that'll be my nightmare for today. But no, we did. We had good players, the Regina program, you know, we had good local kids, and then we had a great scouting staff, so we were able to compete. We had 7 years in a row with 40 or more wins.
Hey, Strummer, it's Al Dumba here. I get a kick out of, I just was at a supper with Stu Grimson about a month ago, and he was promoting his book. I'm not sure if you had a chance to read it yet, but I haven't read
it.
He even autographed it for me, so a special guy. But he had a few stories about you. He talks about leaving camp, going home with his dad, getting to Brooks, Alberta, and stopping and phoning you and say, hey, don't give my roster spot away. So if you want to touch on maybe that a little bit about how you brought Grimmer in.
That's a true story. His dad came in, and Stan came into the office, and Stu had a good camp. And, you know, we say big kid. We, you know, in those days, the guys that, guys were hard to find that were big and willing, but could play. And Stu was one of those guys. And so, you know, but his dad came in and said, you're not going to make a tough guy. He used a word. I don't like to use that word, but I'm sure you can assume what it was. And he said, I'm taking my kid home. So I said, okay, you know, disappointing. So yeah, that's a true story. Stu got on the payphone at Brooks or Medicine Hat or somewhere and called me and said, don't give my spot away, I'll be back. And sure enough, he was. Now, the ironic finale to that story, I guess I can tell this, is Stu's, you know, been in the NHL now 5 or 6 years, and I see Stan, his dad, in the Vancouver arena. They're playing the Canucks. He was with Chicago, and I went in warm-up, I went and sidled up to Stan and said, I guess it's okay for $300,000. He laughed and he said, oh, thanks for everything you did for Stan, Stu. So it was a good, Grimmer was a great story. He made himself, I mean, I'm as proud of Stu as anybody we ever had, what he's done with his life post-hockey and this and that. And he did send me a copy of the book, and I did read it, and I thank him for some of the nice things that he was able to say about me. Yeah.
You know, Bob, when you're talking about Stu Grimson, you know, you talk to players now or young people or fans or, you know, millennials, say, and you talk to them about the way that it was back in those days, and they look at you like you got four heads. Like, all five guys on the ice could have an absolute Donnybrook. All five guys would sit in the penalty box, and after 5 minutes, all five guys would come right back out and play again. Now you get a fight that happens after the original fight, and you're kicked out of the game. You don't even get another chance. I think I've seen two fights in junior hockey all season. But you think back to guys like Jeff Crawford and Al Tuer and Lyndon Byers and Stu Grimson. I mean, intimidation at that time was a huge part of the game, and you understood that. And so you built your teams with skilled guys for sure, but you had guys looking after those guys too.
Well, you needed insurance. You know, you needed insurance that your skilled guys could play. And, of course, you know, Dale Durkach might have been the greatest Pat ever, certainly in the conversation with, you know, with the number with the Hucks and the Wickenheisers and these guys. So, but, you know, you also need, you know, Wick was unbelievable. First overall in the NHL draft. But in those days, yeah, you're right. Nowadays, the young guys don't even believe you. They do. They, when you tell a young guy like a story, I worked with Columbus for you know, a number of years. The, you know, we were Clint Malarchuk and I were telling stories Pascal Leclerc was in the room, and he looked at us, and he got up and left the room. Like it was beyond his perception that those things actually happened.
Oh, hey, so when I put out on Twitter that you were going to be a guest today, my phone from all my crazy friends from school, it just blew up. It was like my phone just started rattling for about an hour and a half. And two situations I want to
add. Sherwood House Motel.
Pardon? Say that again, Bob?
I said it must have been all those people that I used to drink with at
at the Empire. Well, it could have been. There's probably a few of them on there, too. What can you remember?
There was a bar at the Sherwood House Motel called My Place. And so, you know, guys would say to me after the game, "Are you going out? Are you going for a couple drinks?" I'd go, no, I'm going to My Place. "Oh, really?" I go, "Yeah, I'm going to My Place." And so I never lied to anybody, but the bar was called My Place.
Well, when you think back about, so here's the couple of stories. So what do you remember about the incident against the Brandon Wheat Kings involving Ronnie Hextall, Stu Grimson, and just that absolute gong show that took place that night?
Well, two things. One, Hexy stuck, of course, you know, I mean, they started it. And secondly, you know, I pulled the Houdini, you know, Les Jackson came down out of the press box and you know, jumped me from behind in the I got out of my jacket in about 2.7 seconds. I had to tell the boys were giving me heck that I didn't trade punches with them. I said, "Boys, you'll learn as you get older that it's a lot easier to buy a new jacket than it is to fix a broken nose." So yeah, no, that's, I mean, it was, you know, no regrets, right? I mean, we were in it. That was the era, but certainly it was a different time. And lots of things happened, and, you know, survival of the fittest, man. That's what it was.
Well, as a kid growing up in Moose Jaw, the rivalry got off to a pretty good start. But that night that Jamie Reeve came flying down the ice and ran into Rex Grant, and then all of a sudden the benches emptied, that rivalry took on a different life that night. Do you remember that night, Bob?
Well, you know what happened? I mean, all I did was the biggest favor Moose Jaw ever had. We filled the barn for them after that every night. Like, I remember coming back in there, and they had the one end had nothing. There was a scoreboard was at one end, and there was nothing at the other end. And the second time we came in there, there was a picture of a horse's butt with my face on it. So, you know, like, we filled the building for them. They didn't have to spend any money on PR or marketing because we filled the building for them. I'm proud of that.
You know, Bob, so I don't know if I don't think you'll mind me telling the viewers this, but when you and I were having that memorable conversation in Swift Current, that I just was hanging on every word. I was like a little kid listening to your stories. You kind of turned to me, and I'll never forget it. You turned to me and you said, kind of looked around to see who was looking, and he said, I got to be honest with you, son. He said, like, I know that people back in the day thought that I was nuts, and maybe I was, but you had to be back in those days. Patty Janelle, Ernie McLean.
You know what I call that? That's a Meatloaf comment. You remember the song, it took the words right out of my mouth? For sure, people say to me, Strummer, you were nuts when you were in the Western League. Yeah, I was. You had to be to stay in the league. I mean, that's what it was. It was WWF for real. You know, that's what it was. You know, I wasn't like The Rock, but I was like Mini-Me. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it had to be, man.
Al, do you have any questions?
Well, just getting back to some of the characters you had on your team, and I think of guys like Kurt Wickenheiser and Evan Marquardt, you know, those type of guys that I know there were characters, and I know we sat last winter in the Pat alumni area and told a few stories that we probably won't tell on the broadcast here, but just the amazing guys that you had and some of the characters that you had to deal with, really something to remember.
Wasn't that fun, Al? Just a moment in time, you go back. Like, I stay in touch with a few of the guys, like Al Tour for sure, Durkach, Marquardt, LB just phoned me the other day, Byers, Grimmer, you know, and it's amazing how the memories, I saw Reaver last winter, the memories just, they just come back so specifically and so quickly. That's what it makes it all worthwhile. You know what I love most about the junior level is, you know, I'm getting up there in years, and it keeps me young. You know, I get older, they stay the same age. Now, the music doesn't get any better, but other than that, I can handle it.
Kevin Gallant, there's another name that I got to ask you about. You talk about a character back in the day and a guy that sold a few tickets in all the different buildings. He's going to be a guest on the Rod Peterson Show on Thursday. You know, what are your memories of that crazy character? I mean, he loves you, by the way. Every time I've ever talked to Kevin, he can't say enough good things about the time that you guys spent. But you talk about a guy that was certifiably nuts. He's right up near the top of the list, Bob.
Let me give you my best Kevin Gallant impression. We're in Calgary, game five of a best of five, in the playoffs, in overtime. Wally Schreiber beats Mike Vernon in a lawn to win the series. And Kevin Gallant goes, Wally Schreiber! Wally Schreiber! Wally Schreiber! Wally Schreiber! That's my best Kevin Gallant impression that I can give you.
Maybe you don't want to go to, maybe this is a place that you don't want to go, and you know, if it's too much, just say so. But I remember as a kid listening to Kevin Gallant in that game six against Kamloops, and you guys turn the puck over with a 20 seconds left or whatever it was, and Dean Evason walks in and scores. They win it in overtime and then come back in game seven. I think I got that right. I may, if I'm wrong on any of that, let me know. But I talked to Durkach about that. I've talked to Jamie Reeve about that. Both of those guys say that every time that they're watching a Stanley Cup playoff or a WHL playoff and there's any kind of heartbreak at all, it takes them right back to that place. And sometimes they go back to that place even if they're just watching hockey, or if the name Kamloops comes up, which incidentally Kamloops is here in Regina tomorrow night. Does that happen with you? Do you ever just have these just horrible nightmares about that whole situation and how close you guys were to winning it all?
Once a month for 35 years. So what is that? 35 times 12 is about
420.
20 times since it happened. You know what? That group of players deserved to go to the Memorial Cup. We were there. We didn't get it done. We really didn't. You know what? You can't blame anybody for turning the puck over. We had a play on that we used in our end. Unfortunately, they had an extra guy on the ice. They pulled the goalie, and it went right to, you know, it hit somebody and went right to the slot, and Evason rolled it in on its head. So, I mean, it's a heartbreaker for the guys that we built that team around, and that group deserved to go to the Memorial Cup 100%, no question. And you know, I feel badly about it. I still get, you know, I mean, got criticized for a long time because I didn't call a timeout. But Reaver just made a huge save on a breakaway to put the face off on our end. The pass was offside pass, by the way, that they didn't blow down. But I felt like, let's get it over with. 20 seconds left. Let's win the draw. We won the draw. Bad, you know, sometimes things just don't go your way. It was that close of a series. Heartbreaker to this day. Still breaks my heart to this day, to be honest.
Bob, they're in my ear telling me we got to go to a commercial and wrap the show up. So I want to thank you very much. But before we do that, can you, in a minute or less or so, just kind of give people from Regina here some thoughts as to what you're doing now? I know you're in Vegas.
Yeah, no, I work for Bill Gallagher, who owns the Portland Winterhawks and the Lausanne Lions in Switzerland. And I'm just kind of a consultant for him, watching lots of hockey, staying out of trouble for sure, and loving life. Go Riders. You know, I still cheer for the once a Rider fan, always a Rider fan, and love my time in Regina and wish the Pats nothing but the best.
Bob, the only thing you said on this show that I have to say that I don't believe is that when you said that you're staying out of trouble. Other than that, 100%. I believe.
Hey, believe it. Believe it. When you live in Vegas, there's no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. I was in for a while, but now I'm out.
Great. All right. Bob Strom, legendary Pats coach and general manager. Had so much fun today. I could sit here for 4 hours. I hope to see you in a ring sometime soon. Bob, thanks for coming. Oh, Al. I could just sit there and listen to that guy all day.
Well, we had quite the chat last year. I'm not sure if you were there, Kelly, last winter when Portland was in town. And what a great visit with him. And guys kind of started to gather. I saw him up in the stands, and I said, hey, come on down. And a few guys, you know, few of the Pat players, Evan Marquardt was there and Kurt Wickenheiser, and guys were starting to follow in and come down more and more. And we missed the first 5 or 10 minutes of the next period because we just couldn't get away from each other. Yeah. So he's quite a character and a great man.
Yeah, no, he really truly is. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, and then we will have the last segment of the show. Thanks for hanging in there with us through a few technical glitches here today, but that's all right. Let's pay some bills. Catch you in a moment.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. 2018 F-150 XLT 4x4s are starting at just $29,999 plus tax. Plus, our entire inventory of used trucks is on sale. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and more. It's the most wonderful time of year at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store. Capital Ford Pre-Owned in Regina.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
We are in overtime here on the Rod Peterson Show. A pretty good show today, Al. We covered just about everything. Lauren Mullican, Peter Labardius, Bob Strum, Al Miller, man.
I think he used up all the great guests, and poor Roddy's going to come back and not know who to bring on the show now.
Well,
good job.
We had some fun. And by the way, I do appreciate all of the kind words. Didn't want to read off patting myself on the back, but, you know, we battled through it, and I appreciate all the love I got from all of you wonderful people out there. And if you can hear the helicopters, which you may not be able to hear, but we can hear it in studio. Paulie over here tells us that these helicopters are flying supplies and managers, did you say, to the co-op upgrader. Like, you can actually hear the helicopters.
So they're crossing the picket line, but they're going over.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's safer that way.
Yeah.
Safer that way. So, Regina Pats, you're going to be calling the game tomorrow night.
Right.
Kamloops Blazers are in town. My cousin, Dalen Kiefler, and the Kamloops Blazers, first place, but this is a good hockey team, by the way, mm-hmm. first place in the BC division, and they're going to be in Moose Jaw tonight to take on Al Miller's Moose Jaw Warriors, and tomorrow night, you are going to be calling the game with Phil the Thrill Andrews, who was supposed to be here today. Phil is not having a good day, really bad day with the bad headaches, so we wish him nothing but the best, but that'll be interesting tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that game. There's 10 of us, for crying out loud, that have got our tickets, and we're going to be sitting in section 119, and looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one.
No, it sure is. And like I said, it's so much fun watching. Then we got Kelowna coming in on Friday, so a couple Pat outside of the conference games, which is always exciting to see players, especially when you find a few, like you said, your cousin coming into town, people that play outside of this conference. We don't get to see him play in Regina except for, you know, every 2 years. So great opportunity. Hopefully the Pat fans will fill the Brandt Center the next couple games and come on out and watch a couple real exciting teams and help our guys do the best they can against them and hopefully come up with a few points.
How did that poll end up, boys, on the Prairie Mobile text line? We had a question that we were talking about junior hockey and whether or not it's worth paying the price in the long term to try to win on the short term. And 61% of you, which is a pretty overwhelming number, quite frankly, said yes. You get a chance to win, you go for it. 39% said no, not worth the long-term pain. But thanks to Shea Paisley and the Prairie Mobile text line. And I think we're just about out of time. A couple of little things here that they want me to talk about. Rod returns tomorrow, and we have Argos kicker Zach Medeiros with some hockey discussion. He's a good Ontario boy with some opinions on the league. I'm sure he does. Plus, in this big one, Alouettes coach Kahari Jones joins us. Plus, the leader posts Austin Davis and Alouettes blogger Cliffy D. Pine. Not to be mistaken with the great Cliffy Mapes. Both of you knew what I was going to say before I said it. Anyway, on behalf of Jared Dumba, who's off doing Pats TV, my co-host Alan Dumba. I'm Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, signing off from the Rod Peterson Show. Hope you enjoy it. Rod's back tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.